still.
Okay. Yalla. So the Mishnah, again, Mishnah Zayin, Ein Mavashlan Yerek Shel Shviit B'Shemen Shel Truma Shelo Yivienu Lidei Psul. You don't cook Shemitah vegetables with in Truma oil, so that you do not bring it to a state of invalidation. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Shimon says it is permitted. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, what is the ambiguity in the Mishnah?
Whether the psul is on the truma or on the...
Correct. Are you trying to... Is the problem that you are causing lack, you're causing destruction of the truma, or you're causing destruction of the shviat? Now, this is one of those cases where the Bavli has a very clear answer to this question, and the Bavli's answer is truma. The problem is truma. The problem is that by... So in the Rishonim it's not as clear. In the Bavli it is 100% clear, because the Bavli in Zvachem Ayin Vav, when it goes through this sugya, it says, it's trying to figure out different cases where it is a problem, it isn't a problem, and it answers it in different times. Well, in that case, we're not worried because shiny trumat yerek midrabanan, the shiny trumat tavlin shumidrabanan. Right, that each time it says, well, in that case, we're not worried about psul because we're dealing with truma derabanan. It's clear that if that's the case, that the Bavli's understanding is that the issue at hand is the destruction of truma. Now, why would it be that it would destroy truma? Why would mixing shmita and truma together lead to destruction of truma?
Because at the end of the
beer?
Beer, right, very good. Beer, right? The classic reason would be beer, because there, if you get to the point at which it is now no longer in the field, so you have to mevayer it, whatever mevayer means, remafker it or destroy it, definitely if you'll destroy it. So, yeah, the main fear there is that the chiyuv beer is what will lead you to waste it. What about the other way around? If you mix truma into shviat, why would you say that it leads to the destruction of shviat? So first of all, it becomes susceptible to the isurim around tuma, right? It can become tuma otherwise, right? Then you have to burn it, exactly, because truma tmeya must be burned, right? And that's half the story. What's the other half of the story? That very simply, by making it truma, Shlomo, only Shlomo at this table can...
But it's still eating,
right, Shlomo? So Shlomo, right? So if right now we have bone nuggets, right? If right now, so let's take this cake as an example, right? This was a huge, like 78-pound cake. I don't really understand how it was that heavy, right? But we originally I said don't open it. Then right, Wasserman decided he wanted a piece, so I said fine, free rain, anyone who wants it. That was about 45 minutes ago. And there's no cake left. Because, you know, you put a cake in yeshiva and you say, Hefker! And the wolves come and zoo. However, if I said, Hefker, only for the Kohanim, that means that it's only Shlomo and Dovi and Rai Ginsburg, who's on a keto diet anyways. So that means, realistically, it means only Shlomo and Dovi. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how hungry Shlomo and Dovi are, but I assume that that 78-pound cake would not be done 45 minutes. But I don't know. You can ask Shlomo. Do you think it would have finished that cake? Let's see. Exactly. Right? And therefore, if you make it out of truma, which is very plausible, because wheat could be truma, and therefore this cake could have been truma. I mean, it wasn't, probably. I hope. It definitely wasn't. It was definitely imported wheat. All of our wheat is imported, basically, from Ukraine. But, you know. Yes, exactly.
What's the backup plan after Ukraine?
So that's half of our wheat.
That's a serious threat to society. If the Ukraine bread basket fails, Europe is probably going to
crumble. No, it's a problem. We don't really have a backup plan. Oh, okay. It's a problem. The backup plan, I don't know what the backup plan is. I mean, we get a lot of Chinese also. And at some point, we used to get from Turkey. I'm not sure if we still can. But I think Turkey and Israel are... Well, no, now Turkey and Israel are trying to reunite, probably because of the Russian threat. So So maybe Russia, maybe Turkey, who knows? Anyways, but the point is that if you take shviit, which you're supposed to eat, and then you mix in truma, so now instead of it being the entire yeshiva of hungry guys who want to eat it, now it can only be Shlomo and Dovi and Regensburg, that food might, you know, go bad because it'll sit here. It's like the bread from the bread person, bread merchant, right? I mean, correct, but
you're making it specific for one person.
No,
the Kohanim can go to other Kohanim too.
Correct, but there's now less people, right? Shlomo can be as generous as he wants, but where are the Kohanim? There are only three around here.
You can go around the block.
It's not so easy. It's not. If everyone can eat it, it's very easy. I just said Hefker, and everyone came. If I said Hefker to Kohanim, you got to find them. There aren't so many around.
Well, you're talking about they all live near each other.
There are still less of them, much less. It's meaning you are being mima'it. You're minimizing. You're minimizing who can eat it. You're making it susceptible to tumah, and therefore it can be destroyed. So in the Mishnah, it's not clear which way it goes. So there are three possibilities. One possibility is that the issue in the Mishnah is that you can't mix shviit into truma because of the effect it'll have on the truma, or you can't mix truma into shviit because of the effect it'll have on shviit, or you can't mix truma and shviit together because of the effect that they have on each other, that leave everything with its isurim and move on from there, right? Okay, let's just look at the Gemara briefly, and then we'll, right, again, I don't want to, I'm just not going to commit myself to anything. Taman tanina, we say there, uvichulan. So this is the Mishnah in Zvachim, that right, that the sugya, as I said, the Bavli is in Zvachim. Uvichulan, in all cases of karbanot ne'echalim, hakohanim rasha'in lishanot ba'achilatan, ule'ochlan shluyin shlukinu mevushalim. When you have a korban, so the Kohanim can eat it as they see fit. You can eat it roasted. You can eat it stewed, cooked. How do you like your meat, Shlomo? Roasted. There we go. Roasted. V'litein l'tochan tavlei chulin. And you're allowed to put spices. V'it tavlei truma. Or shmita or truma spices. So, I don't know. Pick your karban. Well, Pesach's a bad example because it's not going to the Kohanim. It's going to the Bailim. But Ola's a bad example. Also, thank you. Right, Chatos, fine. Asham. Right? Where Kohanim Ochlim Va'abailim Mitkaprim, where the act of the eating of the Kohanim leads to the atonement of the Kohanim. So this is good roasted meat, and now Shlomo is adding truma spices to it. What truma spices do we have? Pepper, good. Okay, good. Freshly ground pepper.
Oh,
wow. You know, with the fancy pepper mill thing. You know, you've done that. You've done that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, that's what I love. I love the spices from Trader Joe's. That even all of them, have that like that. Yeah, they're glass actually.
Oh, they're glass.
Yes, trust me. If they drop, you will know. What? Yeah, but it's great. It's okay.
Yeah, awesome.
It's a great gimmick. You don't like it. I like it.
It's fine.
Anyways.
I like it except when it hurts.
Yeah. Anyways. So we have the truma pepper on the roasted karbad. So he's allowed to do that. And Rabbi Meir Omer, lo yitain l'tochan, shlo yavi et atruma lidei psul. Rabbi Shimon says you're not allowed. Sorry, Meir says you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because truma, admittedly, it's limited. It can only be eaten by Kohanim, but it can only be eaten by Tahara, but it can be eaten. Indefinitely, basically. Right? However, the karban you have, depending on the karban, right? One day, 2 days, right? You're not talking a lot of time, and now you are leading to the potential destruction of this truma because you have minimized the time it can be eaten, which again, yes, It does seem to be. The simple shot of the Yerushalmi is that it's the Truma. So, right. So now the Gemara says, and this gets very, very, very nightmarishly complicated. Yes, Gerza changes like crazy. Atya. So the Gerza we have in front of us is Dichida Dahacha Kistama Titaman. The one position, right? The position of the single person here is like the Stam Mishnah there. Udiyechida Dehacha. And the single vision here, kistamet tamon, which implies a contradiction because we paskin like the stama. And if you look in the art scroll, then you would have had a different girsa than what I just read, right? Where the girsa would have been, atya de stama de hacha ke yechida de tamon, dichia de hacha kistamet tamon. Ela de stama de hacha remeir de tamon, remeir rebi shimon, alocha ke rebi shimon. So rather, the stam here is rebi meir of there. The stam here is remeir of there, and we paskin like rebi shimon. And Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yossi ishtalit leilin debate Rabbi Yanei ve'amrin nehagin avin emevashlin al yad ve'ochlin. We would do little bits. Good. So we'll come back to the Stam question in just a second. The minhag was to do it a little bit. And my kiddon, how do you know halach gerimer tamon? Shehi rabbanan de'acha. Okay, I'm going to get back to the Pesach question in just a second. Fine. So let's just talk about what is the issue. So as Josh notes, in the Bavli, it's clearly that the issue is Truma, right? It's clear the issue is Truma. In the Yerushalmi, it sort of sounds that way, but it's not entirely clear. So if you look, for example, if you look at the Mefarshim, you'll see a divide. So you look at Marafolda. Marafolda thinks that what's the issue here? Look at the first Marafolda in the Mishnah. She'im nifsal b'shvil shemen shal truma yisrav hakol v'nim segorim l'perot shvi'it shelo yachlu ye'achlu. So he says the problem is
it's not a shvi'it. They are ruining the
shvi'it. Shvi'it. Di'ilu per shvi'it ein t'vulyon postlon mi l'echol. Because the problem is that truma is subject to a higher level of truma sensitivity, namely, and therefore a tful yom who touches truma will invalidate it from eating, which would not be true for shvi'it. And therefore it is usur. What about the Pnei Moshe? Pnei Moshe says, same thing. Same thing. Very good. Same thing. Now, before we, besides for the problem in the Bavli holding clearly the issue is Truma, someone want to give me another problem here? Before we even get to the fact the Bavli says the opposite, what else is problematic here? Right, what else is this possibly contingent on? Right, what is the rationale given? What is the comparison? We compare this case to Kachim. What does that imply? That Shviat is, if it's compared to Kachim, is Kadosh. But if you remember, that is very unclear, right? That it's not obvious that you should be able to compare Karbanot to Shemitah, because it could be that Karbanot are actual Kiddusha, as opposed to Shemitah, which is Miyuad, right? It is designated for eating.
Also with Kiddusha.
I'm going to pause for a second, and I'm going to say, this will already transition us to the second half of the Mishnah. Josh said, Mahakesher, what is the connection between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah? The first Mishnah is talking about Mivi and Lidei Apsul, and then out of nowhere, it goes into the question of the Kedushas Damim. Well, potentially, what is it, Josh? Very good. What's the pasuk that the, right? What is the source for the notion that Shviat is kadosh, such that it has kedushat damim, that's tofes to be'en. Kodesh, yiyeh, lochet. Which, as we saw earlier in the fourth perek, the question of whether it's actually kadosh is a major shayla. But it could be that if you think that this Mishnah, at least within the Yerushalmi, is being understood as a problem of destroying Shviat, and we're comparing the Isser to create a situation in which Shviat is going to be destroyed to that of Karbanot, the reason that it then transitions in the second half of the Mishnah to the question of Kedusha Damim is because Kedusha Damim is a function of that same reality of Kedusha, and as we see, it might be even more, right? It might be part of the reality of ensuring that the Kedusha doesn't go to waste. So it could be that at some level, the question of how to understand this hangs on whether you think that Shviat is Kadosh. Could be. I don't know. Could be Yecholio. Okay? So that is Pnei Moshe, that is the Mara Fulda. However, the majority view is actually not that way. The majority view in Rishonim is not that way. The majority view in Rishonim is to follow.
To read the Bavli and Yerushalayim.
Is very good. Is to read it in light of the Bavli. So the Rashi Rilio quotes that position. That you are minimizing the time that you can eat the truma because of beer. Paskening like this shita, that what does beer mean?
That beer means
destroying
that,
it from the world. And the source for the iser of destroying truma is et mishmeret trumati, that you have to, right, you have to be shomer on truma. Okay? And if you looked at the footnote, or even better, looked at the Rishonim, you would have discovered that who agrees with the Rosh Leo? So I have it in the Chilu figure, so I don't know what you have. I think you have it in the Chilu figure, so also, no?
Yeah. Okay. Rosh and Rosh here. Rosh
and Rosh. Here. I read it to you. Right? So, we have explained the mission in accordance with Rambam, Rav, Bartanura, Marafold on the mission, who understand that the Tanakhama forbids cooking Shviat vegetables with Truma oil out of concern that the Truma might cause the Shviat to be burned. Others, Rosh Sarilio, Rosh is Rachim. However, understand that Tanakhama forbids it for the opposite reason, that its concern is that Shviat might cause the Truma to be disqualified. For now that the Truma oil has absorbed flavor from the Shviat vegetables, and the time of beer for Shviat produce will arrive, the Truma also may not be eaten. Now, they note that there's a problem, right? One problem is, as I already said, in order to really say that the problem is that the Shviat is making the Truma be destroyed, it seems to be that you need, as the Rosh Shirilio notes, to believe that the mitzvah of Biur is to fully destroy it. The problem, as they note, is that the Rosh himself doesn't believe that. The Rosh. Right? That this presents a problem, because Rosh himself subscribes to the view below that the law of Biur is fulfilled by a formal and temporary renunciation of ownership of the produce, after which the original owner may again reclaim it and eat it, if it had not been appropriated by others in the interim. How will an invalidation of Truma result from his becoming subject to the law of Biur? So the Chazon Ish is a technicality, which is the Chazon Ish and Tiferet Yerushalayim argue that nonetheless there is a potential for invalidation here, since according to all, if Biur was not performed at the prescribed time, the Shviat produce is forbidden and must be destroyed. Meaning if you violate the Chiyuv of a Biur, so therefore it's still the remote possibility that this may occur, renders the act of mixing Shviat produce with Truma an act of potential disqualification. For other answers, see there. Yes, why, I don't see why not.
Because
as we noted, that the simple plot in Bavli is definitely that it is a problem of with the Truma, and therefore the Mefarshim try to figure out, well, how can the Rambam, who holds that it's not that way, Paskin, the way he does, right? How can he go into the Bavli? Okay, I will note, I figured my motivation for spending a little bit more time than I originally wanted to is I just, you know, as with yesterday, we can get a pretty good summary from Chaim Kanievsky, and, you know, I feel like we should. I told some guys, if you want to really feel inferior for the rest of your life, read the, they put out a little Kuntress, a little Kuntress. They put his, they put out a Kuntress of his, the, what he learned every day, right? To, you know, cover his goal. The Kuntress, I want to be very clear. The Kuntress that simply describes his daily schedule is 140 pages long. Okay. Okay. Again, the Kuntress that he learned Kol HaTorah Kula every year. No, every year. But he's, but no, this was just a list. This is his daily schedule. It was 8 blot of Bavli with all the parallel Yerushalmis and Tosefta's, a perek of Nach, but a long perek because it wasn't based on the Christian divisions, right? So he would finish every year, Tehillim twice a year, all the Midrash Halacha every year, Midrash Agadah in a rotating schedule, all of Shulchan Aruch every, all of Shulchan Aruch every year, all of Rambam every year, all of Mishnah Berurah every year, all of Zohar every year or something, and Zohar he only did after Tikkun Chatzot, according to this thing, is after Tikkun Chatzot, then he would do his daily Dohar, Zohar. Yes. And he would read his, also he read his Svarim. That was actually very cool to me. Was meaning like his own Svarim are like his comprehensive notes on everything. So as he was learning, he would learn the Perushim he had already written on those sections. I was like, wow, that makes sense. Because if I need something encyclopedic on a Suya, I can go to Ruchan Kanievsky. So why can't he? Right? It just happens to be he wrote it, you know. I think that was what it was. It was really wild. I mean, this thing is crazy. Do I still have it open?
Wait, let's see.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Wait, where is it? Where to go? Chovot. Here. It's called, this Kuntress is called HaChovot Shel Rabbeinu Chaim Kanievsky, right? The, his obligations, right, to himself, right? And literally, this is just the, here. Section Aleph is Seder Limud HaChovot. Tikkun Chatzot, Limud Zohar, Astar, Limud Azor, Amirat Tehillim, Limud Anach, Limud Mishnah Berurah, Limud Rambam, Limud Shulchan Aruch, Limud Bavli, Simanei Adapim, HaChatifot Shel Rabbeinu, Limud Masechet Ketanot, Limud Tosefta, Limud Yerushalmi. And then Rabbeinu Lomid Mitoch Svarav, Seder Limud, Siyunei Derech Limud, then his special Limudim on Erev Shabbat, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, Leil Yom Kippur, Erev Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Chodesh Cheshvan, Chanukah, Chodesh Tevet. What do you get? Special learning for every month? Oh my God. This goes on. It's unbelievable. And then he had, his Siyumim. He includes the language of all his Siyumim, his Siyum HaShas B'chal Shana, Hargasha Nifla'a B'Shashat HaSiyum, Shnei Siyumim Ber Pesach Shechal B'Shat. Oh yeah, I knew about that, right? That when, like this year, where, not this year, when Pesach falls Motzei Shabbat, there's a Machloket, three of Machloket, when the fast day is, Thursday, Friday, or not at all. So apparently he would make a Siyum on Kol HaTorah Kula on Thursday, and then make another Siyum on Friday, just to be machmir on, wait, what was it? Let me just see. Just so we can feel very, very, very inferior. What was it? Yes, but he did a little bit more so that he had extra time. It's 7.5, but. Wait, so what was this? Where is it? Siyum. One second. Call. Okay, then we'll go back to our normally scheduled programming here. Wait. Siyum. Here we go. Yes. So, on. Yes. So. Darko Sharabenu Lisayim et Ashas Bekal Shana Uzman Asiyum Hu Be'erev Pesach. Right, so he would make a siyum hashas on erev Pesach for the siyum of that, but he would make a chatzi shas siyum on erev Rosh Hashanah. In order to do that, he would learn. In order to do that, he would learn nedarim and sota at a rate of 16 blot a day.
Yes, this one does.
Yes, and he would do this because Nidarim are short dapim, and Sota is a lot of Agadata. Okay, thank you.
Then you
now, and then, So then, when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, he makes two siyumim. One on Chamishi, on Thursday, which was the siyum HaShas. Ulochumra, ani osa siyum b'yom shishi. And what would he do? And 1 year he did Bava Batra, the longest Masechta on Shas, 175. Blot as his siyum from Thursday to Friday morning.
Wait, yeah. Oh, he did it in one day?
Yes. Some years he did Mi'ilah, which makes a lot more sense, which is like 20 some odd blot.
So,
but
this is also your day.
Yes, exactly.
No!
Yes, I know, exactly. So I figured we should read Ruchaim Kanievsky on this. So Ruchaim Kanievsky on this.
It seems like you've got a good experience.
Yes, exactly. So.
Then this is when you said the Magen Avraham is one bitch from Goma. I'm like, this is why you say that. This is what you're doing.
I never said that.
Okay, so guys, so the first point, so I'm not going to read everything here, but guys, so Ruchaim Kanievsky argues, first of all, that the reason that in the Yerushalmi, you might think that the Yerushalmi goes against the Bavli, is the Al-Yad Al-Yad, right? Is that the end of the Yerushalmi that we read said that how can you solve the problem? By doing a little bit at a time. Now that makes sense if the chashash is before beer. So as we're approaching beer, we do it in small amounts. But if the problem is truma, right? If the problem is truma, and the problem is that you are, if the problem is that the truma, if the problem is shviat, meaning that you're mixing the truma into the, if the problem is the, I'm getting dizzy. One second. The Rambam paskins that interprets it unlike the Bavli, right? That the concern here is that you are going to cause the destruction of Shviat, right? Of Shviat, right? And the reason is because his argument is that if it's Al-Yad Al-Yad, so why does Al-Yad help? Because the way he might understand it is that you do a little bit at a time.
And it doesn't count?
Really, no, and just like it's unlikely to become a tummy, right? I make it, I eat it, something like that. Now, of course, you could have just said, no, it's... Or it's unlikely to, that the truma will be destroyed at B, or if you do it in small amounts, right? Now, he notes, v'tamua. Right, he says, however, the real problem here is that it's very clear in the Bavli that the issue is Truma, right? So therefore, how does he defend the Rambam? V'yesh lomar, again, we saw there are many explanations of the Rambam, but for now, because it's Ruchaim Kanievsky's, week of Shiva, let's go with him. It says, v'yesh lomar d'rabbeinu yefarish d'dihi d'matnitzim yishum hefset shviat. Maybe the Rambam thought that the pshat in the Mishnah is that the issue here is destroying Shviat.
Okay.
Right. Right. And he says, nevertheless, right. Maybe there's also a problem of truma, or maybe truma they're abundant. It's not considered a destruction of shviat or something like that. But he says, wait a second. So maybe it's a problem of both. But the problem is that even if it's a problem of both, what's the problem saying it's a problem of both? Is that the Bavli still doesn't make sense? Because if it's a, right, you could say it's a problem of both. But if it's a problem of both, then how does the truma be derabanan solve the problem? Because then you've only solved half the problem.
The other one's less than a problem.
So therefore he says, and then he adds another question. He says, and wait a second. Let's say that you paskan the Rosh. Does the Rosh not care about Hefset Shviat? Meaning, in the end of the day, what Ruchaim Kanievsky points out is, first of all, saying it's both isn't so helpful, right? Because then the Bavli didn't ask it. But you also have to ask the bigger question, which is, why would you pick one over the other? I mean, why wouldn't you say it's both? Right? So One possibility, he says, is that maybe our Mishnah is only Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, which is Derabbanan, according to Shevro Shita and Chazal. And therefore, maybe Shemitah, there's no problem of Hefset Shemitah on Derabbanan. Now, what's the problem?
Gemara's been talking about Hefset and Derabbanan for a long time.
So he says, the problem is that, well, according to many, remember, the Shemitah is derived from, right, Shemitah and Truma are related,
yeah.
Right? And therefore, if one's Derabbanan, the other might be Derabbanan as well. So he says maybe he didn't want to do that because he wanted to pass them like the sheet of the Truma's Daraisa, right? You might have to fudge it. So he says maybe that's the Svara, right? The Svara to say that what's going on here is that we're worried about the Truma is to say that this is going according to the Shita, the Truma D'Araisa, but Shviat D'Rabbana, right? Which would mean, now why would that help? Because then you could say that the Mishnah is talking about Shviat, but the Gemara is going within the Shita that Shmita is Bizman Hazeh is D'Rabbana, but Truma is D'Araita, and therefore the Gemara focuses on the destruction of Truma. It's not that it's not the case that Shemitah is Darabanan, but if you have to talk about Daraisa versus Darabanan, right, so you could talk about, theoretically, that the Mishnah is talking about one, the Gemara is talking about the other, maybe. He gives another possibility, and he says, maybe the reason that you would want to say that it's about Shemitah, right? He says, why would the Rambam, what's the motivation of the Rambam saying that the issue here is the destruction of Shemitah and not the destruction of Shumba? So he says at a practical level, the Gemara here doesn't say how long before Bior it is. And if it's like 6 months before Bior, right? Remember, without refrigeration, and even with refrigeration, this wasn't going to last anyways until Bior. And therefore, maybe the Rambam wasn't willing to say that this was about Shumba, because if it's about Bior, right, if it's about just other way around. The reason he said it's about Shviat, meaning that the Truma is making you destroy the Shviat, and not the Shviat is making you destroy the Truma, is because if it's months before Bior, then what's messing up what? Right? The Truma is messing up the Shviat isn't messing up the Truma, because you have 6 months till Bior. Right? But you are now making the Shviat susceptible to Truma. Right, to Tuma, which could lead to the destruction of the Shviat. So again, right, the point is that, look, the simple pshat in the Bavli is that it's Truma. In the Yerushalmi, it's not clear whether the issue is the Shviat affecting the Truma or the Truma affecting the Shviat. He argues that maybe the reason to read against the Bavli is simply that you could easily come up with a case in which the Truma is not in danger because of Bior, but the Shviat is always in danger because of the Truma, and therefore you might say it's both, but under most circumstances, the Shemitah the Truma is a bigger threat to the Shemitah, and the Shemitah is to the Truma, and plus he says that part of reading the Sugyot, in addition to what the Mishnah meant originally, is that you have to figure out what the Mishnah or the Halacha would be, right, what the halacha would be in a world in which Shemitah might be the Rabbanan and Truma might not be. Right? Okay. Exactly, right? He's saying, and when Truma is a separate machlokas, might or might not be related. No, that's not true. Truma is not. It's not.
My brother
wants that
concert and
somebody's wondering. No, you can, you know, we, okay. Fine. Before we talk Al-Yad, let's quickly talk this Pesach issue. I guess this will take all day with the additions for Pesach, okay? But it won't take much. It's fine. The truth is that I realized that a lot of things I wanted to do, that I had originally in my mind to do with Dmei Shviat, we actually covered, right, at different points, because like some of the things that are Dmei Shviat, all the sugyas of Havla and Hakafa, which are part of that, we actually dealt with Sora, right? We sort of front-loaded Sora with those sugyas, so we'll mention it, but I'm not going to go back through it in depth. So we're just focusing on Dmei Shviat as its own sugya, not as...
I forgot what the translation of those
Havla was when you buy multiple things together and swallow it up the payment. Hakafa is when you pay delayed payment, right? Remember we talked about this delayed payment on credit and what if you pay after the Shemitah produce already doesn't exist. Remember all that? So we dealt with that stuff. So we'll mention it quickly as Chazar. We don't have to do it again with. Now, very quickly, in terms of Psak, this is a little bit of a nightmare. This Girsa is a little bit of a nightmare. Let me try to get you through this. So, okay, let's first start just with the one that the Arav scroll follows, because then you have the Arav scroll to look at, right? Where they're following the Mara Fulda. So they read it as follows. Atya distama de halcha kichiya de taman. Meaning, klomar, yotzim ken jadam muvet mishneno bistam, shaveh ledara muvet b'mishnah sham kedat yachid. So that means that the Mishnah, the position in our Mishnah, namely, that you are not allowed to do an act that will lead to hefset perit shviit, is quoted there as Rabbi Meir. So here it's presented as the primary shita, and there it's presented as just Rabbi Meir. Udichida dehacha kistamad detaman, and the opposite is true as well, because in our shita, in our Mishnah, the position that you don't have to be worried about the hefset is attributed to Rabbi Shimon, meaning it's a dat yachid, right? Dat yachid, right? Or dat yachid. And there it's presented as the Stam Mishnah. Now, what's the problem? We paskin like a Stam, we don't paskin like Yachid, but the Mishnayot flip, right? Right? That they're both Yachid in one and Stam in the other. So how would you paskin? So therefore, according to Mara Fulda, the Girsa continues, Ella de Stama de Hocha Rabbi Meir de Taman. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Alocha ke Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara's answer is, you're right. That is what it presents it as. So how do we paskin? So according to Mara Fulda, the question isn't how could you do such a thing. It's how do we paskin? Right? Meaning this is weird. Obviously, I don't really care. Exactly. Right. The way the Mara Fulda reads the Gemara is very simple, which is I don't care about how weird it is. It is weird. All I want to know is how do we paskin? And the answer for the Gemara is you're right. We have two stams, but neither of them is really a stam, right? Because they have a machloket. So now what do we know? We know it's a machloket, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon. And what's the normal rule? So, weirdly enough, he says that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon over Rabbi Meir, and therefore,
you're allowed to.
You don't have to worry about this. We paskin against this. You don't even have to worry about this concern.
And then he just doesn't touch on why we wrote it this weird way. Like, he completely glosses over that.
Here's the change. Josh, you can't
answer. One second. And then, the way the Mara Fulda reads the next line, guys, and then the Gemara quotes the Shita that you should be Mishmim Vashal Yad Al Yad, right? You should cook in small quantities to prevent the destruction. And then the Gemara says, well, what does that teach you? My kiddon, halach ger merit tamon, shu rabban dacha, flip it. No, you're wrong. We paskin, and you do have to worry about it. Because if you didn't have to worry about the destruction, then
you wouldn't
have to worry about doing it in a small quantity to prevent destruction. And therefore, the maskana of the Gemara is that we paskin, you do have to worry. Understood? According to Mara Fulda. Right, that's the Mara Fulda reads. What?
Line.
It's a very weird last line.
Why would we use that example to prove?
I understand. I totally. I understand. I get it. What do you want from me? Right? The
why they once, say that you need to use.
I don't know. That's what he wants. Now this is how the Mara Fulda reads it. This is how the Gra reads the Girsa. Our Girsa, however, is Atya Didchi. Yechida dehacha kistama detaman, right? Meaning, yechida dehacha kistama detaman. So, as opposed to the Bavli, the sheet of Mara Fulda, which says, yeah, it's weird, but all I care about is paskining. Based on this gear, so the Gemara has a problem. Right, with the Girsa, it's a Tmiya. So the Gemara's Maskana is Ella, Distama de Hacha Rabbi Meir. You're right. Our Gemara, it's not really a stam. It's really Rabbi Meir. Right? Did Taman remember Shimon Halacha Reb Shimon? Right? So the Gemara is saying, no. Our Mishnah isn't rightfully called a stam. Meaning, based on the Mishnah there, we know that our Mishnah is really a Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. It's not being presented as a stam. And how do we paskin? So then the Gemara says, quotes the whole Al Yad Al Yad. And then it says, Allah made Tamani, Rabbanan Dehacha.
It's ignoring that.
And therefore, the Allah is like the Cha Chamim. You say, yeah. Mayor. Yeah. And then, look, the Rashi really has another Girsa. Yeah, so there are multiple Girsa into, okay, how to deal with this. Just know that you can look the Rosh Rilio. Really, the Rosh Rilio, really, has a different Gersa. Right? Now, he ends up saying that Halacha Kerabi Shimon. Right? His Maskan is a bit of Halacha Kerabi Shimon. Okay, there are multiple Gersot here. I don't want to really get too bogged down in the Gersot here. Okay, let's just make a few other points. I guess we won't get to the next. It's fine.
That people just told both ways, and we can see both ways.
Yes.
We just don't know.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Other points that are important to be made here. Okay. One point here is that whatever you think it's talking about, does this Gemara prove that Gram Hefsid is usur in Shviat? If you think our mission is about the destruction of Shemitah, does that prove that indirect destruction of Shemitah is usur, right?
Causing an action that'll, doing an action that'll make it usur.
So not really, because right, making it kadosh doesn't directly destroy it. Right. However, several of the Achronim point out, not exactly like what you said, but they said the problem is not that. The problem here is that this case is still different, even not with your Hara. This case is still different than, let's say, the case of rotting food, where you're allowed to let it rot. Why is that different? So, Mishmeret Abayin in the Hara on the Ribaz says very simple. There's a Gramma where that is like that orange is Shemitah, and I'm just going to let it rot. And that might be mutter. But in our Mishnah, what happens if you make the Shviat Truma, and now it's Truma Tmeya? What needs to happen? You then become Chayiv to burn it. Meaning, the problem isn't what you're doing now. It's that you are causing to be a situation where you will be obligated to destroy it actively. Right, and that's the problem. Meaning, it's not the Gram Hefsed that's the problem. It's that if it becomes Truma Tmeya, you will have to destroy it actively, which we all agree is Usur. And therefore, our Mishnah doesn't necessarily prove that Gram Hefsed is a problem, because this is not really Gram Hefsed. It's the possibility that by making it Tamei, you will be forced or be in a halachic situation in which you have to destroy it via dai. Okay? Okay. Now, again, remember that when you get into tomorrow, because you shut damim, the reason that it might be here is because of right, the comparison to Hektish. Right, and again, you can see that here, even in the Rosh Terilio, who has a brief discussion of that. Okay, any other points that need to be made here besides the nightmare in understanding it in Psak? Okay, let's talk about the Al Yad Al Yad. Now, just how do you understand the Al Yad Al Yad according to the two interpretations? So again, if you think that the issue is destroying Shemitah,
then you're having it and it become beer.
Correct. So if you cook it a little bit at a time, we're not worried that it'll be destroyed, because even if it's close to beer, if you do enough for this meal, So then it won't be destroyed. And therefore, the reason that Aliyat Aliyat works is because it prevents you from destroying Shemitah. Now, if you think it's Truma, why would it work?
It's less likely to become Kavotah.
Yeah, it won't. It's unlikely to. Well, sorry, the rat. Keep doing this, right? If the problem is that the Truma will be destroyed by reaching Zman Shviat, then doing it in small quantities prevents it from reaching Biur. If the problem is that the Truma will prevent the Shviat, right, it's less likely to become Tamei. Ruchan Kanievsky points out that the Rambam only believes that Aliyad Aliyad solves the problem of Shviat, but not of Kadshim, and not of Truma. Right, it's one directional. Now, why would that be the case? So he says very simply that the difference is that Shemitah, which can be eaten by everybody, right, and has very few limitations in terms of how, right, in terms of that, doing it in small quantities is likely to be enough to prevent it from being destroyed, because you'll do it in small quantities and then everybody can eat it and you'll be done. Truma, you might think that even doing an Aliyad Aliyad is still a chance, because since it can only be eaten by Kohanim, right? Even if I did a small quantity, if Shlomo happens to run back to his right to his apartment, right? Like Shlomo puts something up on the stove, right, in a small, you know, thing, and then runs back to his apartment. In the meantime, somebody touches it, right? Tvulyom, touch, right? Someone touches it, it's going to be tamei. So the right, if it was Shemitah, so everybody could eat it, so it won't even last 5 minutes. It'll be done. Right, but if it's Truma, even because only Shlomo, only right, Ginsburg, only Dovi can eat it, it might be a bigger problem, and therefore Aliyad Aliyad might help by Shviat, but might not help by Truma. Now the Chazon Ish. I'm asked the same question about karbanot, right? Which is that the Gemara in Zvachim had ended up paskening that you're only allowed to add truma to the kadshim if it's truma derabanan, because otherwise it'll lead to the destruction of truma, because the karban only has a night to eat it, and the truma will be destroyed. The Chazon Ish says, well, why don't we allow, right, little by little cooking in the case of truma being mixed into the karban? And he says very simply, because the time frame for karban is, right, so short, right, is so short, it won't be enough, right? So by truma daraita, by kadshim, it's just too much, right? It's just too much, right? It's just too, right? The demands are too, right? You have just a few hours to eat it, and that is just not enough. The Rambam also happens to not paskin ma'at ma'at in the context of Ma'aser Sheni. And Chaim Kanievsky deals with that as well. The last point he says, the Chazon Ish asked, why would we distinguish between cases of small quantities and large quantities? Don't we normally run things based on low plug? And Rechaim Kanievsky says, maybe not, because look, food as it is not small quantities of food. Like, it doesn't make sense to be gozer, because like they're always eaten that way, right? Like, you cook a little bit for this meal. Like, it's not like, and normally low plug is like, this is the type of thing that would be left for a long time, so you leaving it for a short time isn't going to help it. But he says a small quantity of food is normally eaten quickly. So categorically, it is different to cook a small quantity and a large quantity, and therefore maybe technically that gets you out of the low plug problem. Okay, fine. We'll leave it at that. So tomorrow then we'll deal with the question of Dmei Shviat. So what I want you to do is, Read the Gemara all the way till the next Mishnah, right? So this whole Amud, the question of Chil, whatever. And then I gave you the relevant sugya in Sukkah, and a just really basic Makarot on it. And what I want you to think of, in addition to the status of Dmei Shviyat, is I want you to think throughout what that tells you about Kedusha, right? About how we understand Kedusha in Shviyat, because as you'll see in the Rav's piece that I gave you from the Rishim HaShirim, the Rav is really struggling with that question, right? Which is, what is the nature of Kedusha, Peiro Shviyat, such that these halachot make any sense? And that is what we are going to try to do. That'll take us, I think, a few days. That will take us to the end of the Mishnah, and then we'll only have, a daf left or so. Okay?